Welcome to episode 71 of CNBC, the podcast about enjoying real beer. I'm Mike.
And I'm Chris, and we have special guests, Sherry and from Fresh Prince fame, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
DJ yes. Jazzy Jeff in the house. Welcome.
Or just Jeff.
Thank you.
Oh, you won't go by Jazzy Jeff? You don't respond to that? Like, screw you guys, I'm not answering.
Those days are behind
So it was a rough junior high
experience. Lots of playgrounds. Philly. All right, what's our first beer, Mike? We're going to drink, we have a flight of beer from Trogs Brewing up in Pennsylvania there somewhere.
Yes, so I believe we ordered it that we're starting with the Solid Sender Ale or Solid Ender Ale. I don't know if I have to keep using the S.
I don't know, let's just open it and see.
All right. Oh, awesome. Thank you.
So try the corkscrew.
See if I can open with that. So we're recovering from the sugar stickiness of our podcast studios.
Yes.
We were invaded, as you guys may have heard.
That was our April Fool's joke, if you didn't quite catch that.
So talk about that foamy on opening.
It's a gusher.
It's a little gusher. Oh, we're looking okay. Here, I'll just do this first. I'll get you.
Looks like beer.
Nice golden color right now.
It's golden straw. A little deeper than straw.
Yeah. So we asked in our last episode, and we learned prior to starting a recording that, what is it? SRM means color. So what would this color be?
A low number.
A 1.5.
So it's very clear, filtered looking. You know, no cloudiness or haziness in there at all.
No.
Nice strong color.
I didn't give anybody a copious head, so I can't tell if it's a frothy head. I tried to pour relaxing, because when we opened the bottle, it did froth over the top.
But not overly effervescent in the glass, really. No. It's not rebuilding a head here.
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, this has been sitting a while. So
it smells good.
All right, what are you getting? I'm not getting a lot of aroma.
Originally,
a little bit.
At a quick sniff, I was getting a little bit of sourness, but given a longer pull in, it's getting mango.
Mango? Yeah. What are you getting, Sherry, when you said that's nice?
I don't know.
You have a much better glass.
I have a good glass.
The Omegang glass.
It's like fizzing it. It's getting
my glass has
going
a lot of dirt bubbles on the side of it. So I got like a little bit of. I mean, fruitiness, definitely,
yeah,
but like apple, like a light fruit type.
Ooh, that's like a fruit taste.
Now this, what style is this? This is an IPA or a pale ale?
This says Solid Ender Ale, and I can't read that.
I get dishwasher detergent in my glass. Right.
This is an ale. 5.2 ABV.
How many minutes of preparation are we supposed to do each episode? Because if we tried it, it might work.
This appears to have hops in it.
The picture has hops in it. I saw that.
45 of them, right?
Yep, 45 IBU. Freshness by a number that is not a date. Freshest by. I think this isn't freshest.
What was the date on there, freshest by?
It might be November 17th, 2015.
All right, so...
All right.
It's got Crystal, Munich, and Pilsner malts.
What?
It's Solid Sender Ale, by the way.
Solid Sender. This says it has Mosaic and Cascade.
That's hops. The malts.
Good call.
Pilsner,
good
Munich,
call. Crystal. Good call.
All right. So,
they'd say a copper color. I would say it's more straw than copper.
Yeah. I didn't get that. There's a fade of copper there, but
they put the
much.
Instagram filter on the one on the website.
Yeah, definitely. The sepia.
Yeah.
So you know how a familiar guitar riff can take you to a great moment? Solid Sender Ale delivers a dynamic, dependable rhythm of caramel, malt, and cascade hops. It's the perfect beer to get stuck in your head.
So they say on the beer profile, piney hops, orange pith. I get a little orange pith maybe when drinking it.
Yeah. It says freshest by March 18th, 16th.
No,
wait.
What
number are you looking at?
Like 2 days.
The one on the top? 03?
Oh, what's the number below that?
the number below that is maybe the batch number or something, and the time it would be a timestamp.
We just missed a deadline.
Yeah, it's freshest on Friday. Hmm. Or we're not supposed to date these, are we?
It doesn't matter. We'll never release them anyway.
A Friday.
So
I got that apricot apple, that dry tart kind of flavor going with it.
They also say flowering herbs and honeysuckle.
I did not get the flowering herbs and honeysuckle.
What I get, despite the what appears to not be a lot of effervescence here, I'm getting a lot of like the bite
from the carbonation.
Yeah,
yeah, I get a little bit of that too.
I feel so. You know, maybe that often I think translates to that's the water. You know, the water profile, whatever the.
The Pennsylvania water.
If they're using some brewing salts or not to try to profile their water. But yeah, I feel like I get more bitterness off of the carbonation than the hops.
Did anybody get a lot of bitterness on this? Because I did not get a lot of bitterness at all.
It's not a lot, but that's what I'm saying. I feel the bitterness is coming from.
A little bit at the end. Yeah. Like I still have some in my mouth. But yeah.
All right.
Let's dive into the next one.
The next one.
Because I'm done.
Any final thoughts on that?
With mine. That's good.
All right. Did we talk about anything besides beer? We're just driving right into the next beer.
Let's go to the next one, and then we can talk about some other stuff if anybody has anything.
All right. The next one is Bizzard of Hops.
Bizzard?
Bizzard. Like wizard, but with a B.
Blizzard, sure? But no O. Or is it Blizzard? Are you sure it's not Blizzard?
It could say Blizzard.
Because it has snowflakes all over it.
It also has an L right before that I.
Okay.
I never learned to read!
So Trogues started in 1996-ish? 92? 96? I don't know. There's a lot of words to read. But they have some years like 92 and 96. So let's go about that.
You a nice head there, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And they're in the Harrisburg, Hershey area of Pennsylvania.
Of New Jersey.
That's central Pennsylvania-ish. I think they're a pretty good, pretty big-sized regional brewery.
Yes.
You can get their beer all around the Mid-Atlantic and maybe beyond. I don't know. Probably beyond,
but in Harrisburg, when they started bottling, they got volunteer bottlers. And my connection to this is one of the first, I guess he was volunteer number zero, was the brother of somebody that I get to work with, and he provided me this sampling of Trogues.
So another clear, very similar color, I would say.
I agree. This looks like a pretty similar color to our last.
Not hazy at all. Yeah. Very filtered looking.
I'm getting something really exciting on the nose on this one.
Deep gold.
I want to know if it's just me. What are you getting?
I smell raisins.
That's passing me by.
I can get raisins or something like that.
What do you get?
Butter rum. Butterscotch.
Butterscotch.
I don't think I've ever detected that before.
So this is...
on a not bad beer.
What is really? This is like a winter IPA. Is that what the style is here?
Yes, this is a winter IPA. Exactly.
All right, I guess it's not technically spring, or is today? We're going to date ourselves again.
We are the first day of spring. Winter just ended yesterday.
Okay, so.
So you get butterscotch, is that what I'm getting? Maybe that I'm calling raisin.
Open your mouth, good sniff through the nose. Open your mouth.
Wait, open your mouth and sniff?
You got to keep your mouth.
It's like rubbing my tummy and patting my head. What? How do we do
keep
this?
Keep your mouth open. Okay. Wide open.
Open.
But now draw in through your nose. And so then the odor.
Okay.
Then you kind of get it on the top.
I got the butterscotch.
Oh, yeah, I got a little bit. Drinking it.
Because you still pull some in through your mouth, too.
Yep. So, and then you taste. Yeah. Yep.
Totally butterscotch, yeah.
So maybe it's like one of the sodas the kids had earlier.
Let's hope not.
Don't taste the butterscotch.
It does not taste butterscotch.
I got it while drinking it and kind of smelling it at the same time. I got some of that butterscotch.
Well that's what I learned about tasting, whiskey and some of the other brown liquors. Yeah. Is you get the more of the flavor there too.
When you open mouth, yeah. So this winter IPA is to toast hop growers around the world for another successful harvest. I don't know how to read or read. This storm of hoppy citrus and pine notes is a bright reminder of the end of the hop cycle is only beginning.
So this one's 80 IBUs, 6.4%.
It definitely has a more fruity bouquet than the last.
Centennial, Galaxy, Chinook, and El Dorado hops.
But I'm not getting that crazy bitter bite.
It's pretty flat, bitter tone. There's
it's not astringent.
No, and El Dorado, I think, is one of the trendier new hops to try to throw in there. But otherwise, we got West Coast hops.
Yeah.
But it's not, a West Coast flavor profile. It's all right.
It's fruity-ish.
I'll take one more little sip. So we have anything, any beer news or beer experiences people want to talk about?
So can we talk about your Bang Hound beer experience again, since we had the...
But that's not fair.
It's not? Sorry, it's not fresh anymore?
They'll kick a guy while he's down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Because, well, how about our intention on helping them consume all their remaining beer?
Yes, that will be after this podcast is published. But yeah. If you have a time machine, you can go back in time to March 25th and go to their final beer drinking fire sale at Bane Hounds Brewery.
Actually, it might be a good time for you to visit on the way home just to see, like, you never got your Kickstarter thing, yeah. But you could just say, how about I just take that big vat?
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Could I get the 25-gallon bucket?
Have you given up home brewing for good?
Or if
you got a 25-gallon vat, you might rethink it.
I haven't sold my equipment yet, but I have strongly considered it. Just get it out of there, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
You want to start homebrewing? You want my stuff?
No. I never got stuff because I could never commit to it.
There's so many.
And I wasn't good.
There are so many microbreweries, nano breweries, so many great choices. When I started homebrewing, the boom was starting.
Right? Yeah.
And now we are, like, there's more breweries in this country now ever.
Than ever. 4,000 plus.
So there's the myth that you can brew your own beer and save money. If you drink enough beer that you are interested in trying to save money, well, that's different. I mean, that's one thing. But the reality is not. Like, you have to be an enthusiast and get into the equipment.
Yep.
Get into all of the, you know, the full range of equipment that just escalates over time. You start with extract brewing, and buying extracts kits cost, you know, more.
More than
just buying a case of beer. And then you get into all grain where the ingredients cost less, but the equipment costs more.
Yep.
So you have to do it because you love it. And I did love it, and I do enjoy it. And I like trying different beer styles, and I did come up with a lot of interesting recipes. I had a couple big winners that I thought were phenomenal. But, man, you can just go to the corner, you know, the corner mom and pop shop and get such a good selection of beer
right now.
And the commitment to making your own is really a fun and interesting process. But it's a big time commitment. So as an adult with children who have social calendars and
every that's now, the big one.
Yeah, and every now and then I like to get out and do my own thing. If I have 4 to 6 hours on a weekend, I might just want to go on a hike and not stand outside and brew up some beer. So,
yep. So that's why I'm not a home brewer. But I think you nailed it. It's like the ability, the ease of access to really good beer.
That's where I hesitate to and just chuck beer. All my stuff.
Yeah.
It's because something's going to happen. There's going to be a lot more microbreweries that get acquired by the, you know, the big conglomerates, and some of them will maintain their identity and some won't.
And then at that point, you'll want to
try
to emulate.
How long is it going to be before we can't get the good beer that we want to drink? It's not going to happen, right?
No. And seriously, in this area, there are really good microbrews, brew pubs that you can pretty consistently get a good pour, and you don't have to drink 30 bottles of it because that's what you poured.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big problem I had with home brewing is you brew 5-gallon vats, right? So, first of all, if it's not good, then you're stuck with 5 gallons of bad beer. And even if it is good, you're like, well, I've got 2 cases of beer that I like, but I really need to concentrate on drinking these two cases of beer over the next, you know, 4 weeks rather
four
than
weeks
go.
4 weeks and drink two cases, Chris, to be honest.
rather than go and buy, like, something different every week or, you know,
well,
so.
That's how I ended up with the capacity, you know, with multiple kegerators in right. home to have 30 gallons of beer on tap right. at any given time. But it was beer growler fill Fridays at my work where people could, I'd say, bring in your growlers and I'll fill them on Thursday and bring them in on Friday. Just, you're giving
so
away a ton of
it was
beer.
Good for everybody else. Yeah. From an economic
it was
perspective,
good
as well
beer.
As
sure, some of it was, some of it was good. And well, I mean, that's what it is. It's the, I didn't do it to save money. It's a really fun activity. Yeah. It's time consuming.
Well, you were good at it.
Well, thanks.
So I'm glad that you're hesitating on the purging, because if you ever get the inkling, it's worth it. Yeah,
we'll see.
I'm a willing scrubber and sanitizer and doing all the shitty work if I get your good beer at the other end of it.
Well, so there's the story on Banging Hounds. We don't know what happened with them, but they were successful enough to get at least local distribution.
Yeah.
You know, they had legit bottling and opened up their doors to come and fill your growlers and sit down and have a pint or two at their location. What happened? They were Rockville, you know, or Montgomery County's only nano brewery.
Right.
And Paul, the owner there, did what he could to get legislation passed to make it so he could bottle and sell his beer. What happened?
I think there was marketing issues. I think there was quality issues.
There were quality issues.
I think there was, I couldn't regularly find their beer in my beer shop, which was like, you know, a mile and a half away from the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they would have one beer there sometimes. Sometimes they wouldn't. Sometimes, you know, so it wasn't even like I would get it regularly. And then sometimes the beer was good. Sometimes it was, it tastes a little homebrewy. I'm kind of curious about those small places like that, because there are a lot of places that seem to get by largely on people visiting the tap room.
Yeah.
And how much money, can you make? Can you make enough money to sustain a small brewery just from taproom visits and growler fills?
Well, the location that they had was not phenomenal. But then we hear some of the successful nano breweries, well, up in New England, right? Treehouse.
Yeah.
Treehouse.
It's a barn, right? And yeah. problems in their town with traffic control. And,
right.
Like Lost Abbey or whatever that place is.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
And Hill Farmstead or...
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that Hill Farm? I always mix up the words, but they are... Hill Farmstead is another one that it's impossible to get to, but it's always crowded.
So if you make good beer, they'll come. If you build it, they'll come.
I think that was
the problem.
But also there's a little bit of mystique because you're up in New England and in the rural countryside, so of course you've got good beers, but in the middle of the industrial center of Rockville, like the armpit of Rockville.
I don't think that's a
come
that
on. I could trade
thing.
In my cable I mean, box at
most
the local
beers. Most breweries are in the industrial neighborhoods. They're not like in, unless it's a brew pub, they're not in like the nice.
Well, or we're in Vermont.
I get it, but I mean, what I'm saying is
like the countryside.
Yeah, the countryside.
Yeah, right. Like for us, like it's a place like. Hey man, let's take a road trip out to some of these beer meccas, and I can hit Treehouse, Omegang Treehouse, and then end up at Hill Farmstead. It's like, is anybody going to go in a beer mecca to go? I'm going to go to Rockville, and then maybe into DC, and maybe Baltimore.
You can go to the Rockville ice rink, and then go over to the.
There you go.
When I can just go to my local bottle shop and get some amazing beers,
right?
Like shipping into the Mid-Atlantic.
That's
now.
What I think really killed them.
Yeah.
What I think really killed them is they weren't a novelty anymore, and there wasn't enough local pride, local spirit behind it.
But we'll see how these other places do. The place in
the other place that opened in Rockville.
Yeah, what was that place called?
Bears.
Well, you know what's good about that
Black
place?
Bear?
You
Black
can
Bear?
Walk there from the Trimbrook Metro.
So it was called,
Black,
called
Bear?
Black Bear. No,
not even close. So
their mascot was a bear.
Yes.
Remember the big old? There's a big old bear there.
And
Seven
Wiradacka.
Seven Locks.
And Wiradacka here, and the farm breweries up in like Mount Airy area too.
See, Monocacy can hold on.
But those places, I think this place had a serious marketing problem, and just quality problem. I mean, I think, you know, people get burned enough.
Well, I think they were focusing on a style that was more British pale ale, British malt forward beers.
Right.
Even with their IPAs, they were still very malt forward, which is that's not the style that's trending in this country right now.
Well, now, I mean, well, that's the thing. Now it's all goes
well, right. Now
sours,
we're
going to
get sours.
And,
yeah.
Brettomycin, bloody blahs. And then if it's not that, then it's your IPA kind of thing. And yeah, they were European. That in the West Virginia brewers, same thing. The one brewery there that isn't getting as much traffic as the other two is the one that's doing the European style. And he's like, I'm not IPA, so it's all hops. You're not getting any flavor. There's no nuances. Da, da, da. And he makes good beer, but you know, people come in, they want to try whatever.
Yeah.
Destructive thing, or they want that really high alcohol volume.
Well, we did that. So we did that episode where we talked about the Belgian that's written on one of the glasses.
Omegang.
Yeah. Jeez. just old.
You mind. Just went there for your freaking 40th.
That's what happened. 40th. All was downhill from there. But Omegang, who is now offering IPAs.
Yeah,
so,
right?
So if you want
we
to talk
about... some of them when we were up in New York.
So if you want to talk about a brewery that tried to be like, oh, we're a Belgian brewery. Belgian. Yeah. How did that work for them?
Yeah.
Pretty well. And they got bought by a bigger company.
Yeah.
And yes, wonderful representation of style, but they have recognized I need to be continue to be successful in the United States of America with this beer. What does that mean?
I need an IPA.
IPA.
Yeah.
IPA, you know.
Yeah. So. And on that note, to our next beer, Perpetual. Let me try this. Did I get all the letters this time, Sherry?
Perpetual. Yes.
Perhaps you should read the label. I'm not doing so hot. Perpetual IPA.
All right.
I think this is one of the flagship beers, or one of the well sought after Trogues beers.
So this one's maybe a tiny bit hazier.
It's part of their year round.
Still pretty clean.
So Solid Sender, Perpetual, and Troganade are all part of their year round collection.
This smells a little dirty to me.
This one is the darker color, like too. It's a deeper copper orange.
It's
that kind of hop.
It says it's straw golden, but this one's more orange. Perhaps definitely. Everything got flip-flopped. You have that glass is the worst glass of tough color on a beer.
It's, not, it's too thin.
I should give you a better one. But this is, it's much more coppery than the picture.
Yeah, it has the orange tint.
And it, maybe that is a tiny bit of haze.
Yeah.
Or
it's hazier than the others that we've had, so...
So what do you guys get any
my
kind of dank smell or
film on glasses? So we can't all trust any of this. I apologize.
You shouldn't be putting your nice glasses through the dishwasher.
Hand washing is so much work.
You have three kids.
That's true, but the
waste
break
water
it.
And a wife.
Hey. Chopping room floor.
You notice he says that when she's not in the room.
Yeah, right.
Do you guys smell the dank?
This I
don't
do.
Dank.
This
do you
is a
dank.
I do, and this is also just there is a.
I get a lot of sweet off of this.
It's almost there's almost so much going on in the nose here. It's all getting muddied.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, let me do that open mouth thing.
So Imperial Pale Ale. Oh yeah, IPA. <It's> like,
That's
what's
video,
that Imperial word?
The video podcast needs to be that you guys sniffing with your mouth
trying
open.
To bring it. Well, this is the most bitter of the three we've had so far.
It is.
Yeah.
It has a much sweeter profile, though, when we, bouquet before you drink it, but then it comes in kind of bitter.
This has even less effervescence as we've kind of moved up the scale. And some of that could be this is a higher gravity beer, and you're just getting a little bit more... heaviness on the alcohol side, but you
it
also know
boozier.
But you got the sweetness and the booziness is there, and you're not noticing the bitterness from the carbonation. It is a little silkier, smoother, sweeter.
But I'm definitely getting more bitter flavor with this one than I had off the other two. Part of the reason this was donated to me was the receiver of said beer is not liking that bitter flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can do all beers, not a big fan of the hoppy ones here. You can have my hoppy ones. The first two didn't give us that bitter thing that comes. This one's the first one that gave me that.
Yep.
7.5%, 85 IBUs, 85 hops.
This is the most bitter... 85 IBU.
Bravo, Chinook, Mount Hood, Nugget, Citra, and Cascade Hop.
She says it just swept everything up off the floor and just threw it in there.
Well, so they said they hop with Bravo, Chinook, Mount Hood. They dry hop with Cascade and Citra. Hop back hops, Mount Hood, and Nugget.
So the dry hopping adds more to the aroma.
What is hop back?
You know, they might have. I don't know if Trogues started the hopback thing, or if that was a. That might have been a Sierra Nevada thing, but that is like having a canister of hops in line as you're moving the beer along its journey.
As you're bottling it?
Yeah, well, it could be in, you know, various stages. Okay. It could, you know, but that's the hop back is the it's in between your bittering and your flavor hops and your dry hops, maybe, or it could be post dry hops in the process of moving along the line.
Yeah. So to your question, then, the dry hops are what give you that aroma profile?
Yes.
I think Citra does, though it is a citrus forward flavor hop, has a spoiled fruit on the nose, a little, that dankness. So
I did not get the dankness that you guys caught out.
It's not heavy. This is the first.
That's enjoyable.
This is the first Trogues we've tried thus far. I'd be like, okay, I want to go and get that one.
Yeah.
The other ones were just to kind of blend in.
Now, is it because of the bitter bite to it that did it? Were the other ones kind of weak flavored to you?
I don't want to say weak. The first one just really was all carbonation for me.
Yeah.
So a little flat. The next one also maybe a little flat as well. A spoiler from really that butterscotch on the nose. And I'm not sure I want to drink a butterscotch beer. But that seems, this is going to be a sweet beer. Yeah. And it wasn't.
Right. Almost like a Belgian IPA.
Yeah. And then this one delivers from what it smells like and the initial... you know, pow on the palate, and then the nice drying bitterness as it goes through.
I agree with that.
With the trailing sweetness.
Yep. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the bouquet keeps opening up as it warmed up. This one's a really nice beer.
They look like they have a great tasting room at the brewery, too. Looks like a good place worth a visit.
All right, so we're going for pizza, 100 taps, and then a visit to Trogues. We'll be there, because I've given up on the Harpoon Brewer. Did you hear the you haven't heard that we haven't posted the episode. So, spoiler and old news. But my friend from across the way came by while we were recording last week, and I was like, can we, all kidding aside, can we finally get this guy Dan back on the show to talk about that Harpoon experience? He's like, he don't work with us anymore. He's left. I think he's currently leeching off his girlfriend somewhere and no longer... working as wares.
We'll cut that.
He had a job as a beer buyer at Whole Foods.
How could you want to leave that job? And he won the competition and got the brew at Harpoon. Like, you should be able to parlay that into some kind of... What is the beer sommelier equivalent? What do they call that?
Is that the...
They have classes for it and shit where you can taste and...
Cicerone?
Or is that... That's who gives the Godfather advice.
Wait.
Constantly here.
Oh, wait. No. Isn't that a pig part? Fried pig part? No.
That's scrapple.
Oh, another, no. Yeah.
So, beer experiences? No more comment. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Should we talk beer experiences?
I have one if we want to move on to the next one. Because it's thematic to...
It's thematic to this. Should we open this first and then share the beer experience?
Maybe we should.
Do we do new rinsings on glass? I'm going to go right into that glass for this last one.
Yeah, I can't keep on.
Do you need...
Well, this is a different beer.
This is a totally different... your experience is a different beer.
No, it's this beer, but this is a different... We've been drinking... Never mind.
We're switching to our fourth beer now.
Yes, but this is
Troganator.
This is not a pale ale. This is not
right,
an IPA.
It's a different style.
This is a double buck. Right?
This is a... I don't know. Can you read that?
Our fourth.
That's small. A double bock.
A double bock.
And yes. Final beer from Trogues Brewing out of Pennsylvania.
Well, here, let me.
Should I rinse you up there, Chris?
I think I'm okay.
You good with this?
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a much deeper color.
Yes, it is.
Sherry, you good with that? Or you want a refresher?
No. Nice.
Maybe a little bit.
Well, is this what happened for me?
Caramel
that's
head.
There you go.
I did a terrible pour, but.
But you gave yourself so you can see if it's a rocky head or not.
That's right.
Nice color.
That is.
I love that caramel head though. Look at that.
Gorgeous head.
Tiny little bubbles there.
Tiny bubbles in my beer. Oh, that's a nice,
nice
tan head.
Copper red color.
Very clear. Deep.
All right. This smells great.
So it's a deep ruby, is the color I was looking for earlier. It's almost ruby tinted.
Definitely. This smells like.
Oh, that's a
bourbon
smell.
Soaked
yeah.
raisins.
It smells... I get a lot of the smell, like, if you walk... Okay,
that's raisin. The other thing was not raisin. That's raisin.
Yeah, yeah.
If you walk by a brewery, this is the kind of... That malty smell. That's what I get.
Oh, no, but there's more. There's, like, a sweet...
Grape nuts?
There's, like, a cloying thing going on in there.
Grape nuts with a bunch of sugar in it?
No, it's not even grape nuts. I'm doing that open mouth thing now. It's like I'm seriously breathing fruit.
Yeah, I just take a bite of a plum.
Like a very sweet, yes, plum is excellent. So raisin's too much. Plum is it. Yeah. Plum is it.
Troganator is one of the big tasty. Well-known beers from Trogs. It's been, I think they've had it for a long time. And it's always been something you can, I don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, this this is a, you know, I don't typically like a super malt forward beer. I like a malt forward British style beer that has a good biscuity note to it. But if I see Double Bock on the display shelf, I'm not buying it.
You don't like that at all?
Generally, I'm not focusing on a Double Bock. But Troganator, great.
Yeah.
Beer. Just, it's a... an outstanding representation of the style that, in for even for folks that don't love the super sweet malt forward beer, I think it's it does it pretty well.
This is a damn tasty beer. Yeah, we might have wanted to open with this because it doesn't have any of the hot profile, but it would have made us all boozy. I like finishing with it. This is like a dessert.
So my second experience with, and this is a beer experience with Troganator. I had tried it and I remembered liking it, but. During the days when I was really experimenting with a lot of new microbrews, and recognized this one as, well, you can't drink a lot of this one because whatever, it's 8%.
8.2. You
know, alcohol. So had tried it and liked it, and then my second experience with it was with sharp knives and grinding equipment.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So way back in the early days.
Were you disposing of a body? I see we've choked you up there.
The very early days of Groupon in the D.C. metro area, there was an advertisement for learn how to make your own sausage with one of the chefs from Church Key, Birch and Barley. Is that right? Birch and Barley? Yeah.
That's the bottom one?
Yep. Yeah. Birch and Barley. Right, yeah.
So, is it Kyle Bailey? He's, I think, the executive.
Yeah, so there. Invitation to an event for that, some whatever, pay your $15 and go in a big, you know... kitchen environment. So I was very happy to do that and said there would be beer involved. So we showed up and the chef gave us the spiel about making all different styles of sausage. And I do like to cook. I'm pretty excited about it. He throws out some big cuts of pork in front of us and says, oh, we forgot the beer part. Well, we got beer sponsored by Trogs today. And I didn't know what to expect, but what they just whipped out was a couple cases of Troganator.
So it's in the bottle, not even on tap.
Bottles. And where we have very large chef knives, very big cuts of meat that need to be broken down so they can be passed through a grinder and then a grinder. And also stovetops with gas flames and skillets in front of us.
So the purpose was not everybody who signed up for the class left the class. Is that what happened?
There were some...
And the pork I put in the quotations, it was
you
people?
You can make sausage out of body parts. Yeah. Any body parts. Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah. It was close. There were some folks that were bandaged up. Troganator is just a great beer, but it's a sipping beer.
Right.
It's not a bunch of people socializing with sharp...
Making sausage
in a room, trying to pound a couple cases of Troganator.
Wow. How many people were there?
You know, about 30 people.
There's 30 people, and there's a couple cases?
And we went to cases of Troganator.
Wow.
Yeah. We did not. No one drove home. Some people got ambulance rides home.
Did you get to keep your sausage?
We did. Well, yeah.
Yeah,
it was good. We cooked some right there, like fresh, and then took.
Wow, how was that?
It was
like
awesome.
Seeing. So they always say like seeing the sausage being made kind of ruins the palate for tasting it. But apparently, you cooked it right there and ate it, and it was not bad.
Yeah, well, this was right. This is, you know, they say you don't want to see what goes in a sausage, right. But they put some really fine cuts of pork in front of us, and stuff, yeah. So it'd be like, well, that's. That might not be what they actually do, but yeah.
Like, substitute this with sneaker parts and Band-Aids and...
There were no lips and, you know, organ meat. None of that. It was
everything from the rooter to the tutor.
Wait, that was my second experience with Troganator. And then I was then I was a little gun shy to it. So I was thinking of what stupid things I would do. I'm going to make some sausage today. Yeah.
Come here, kids.
Yeah. This beer, one interesting thing on the bottle here, all these other freshest by dates were in March, and this one's in May, and all this beer was at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So you get a couple more months on your beer. It has 25 hops in it, 25 IBUs. 8.2% alcohol. Magnum German Northern Brewer hops, just two hops varietals. Monk's Head fasting figured out. No food? No problem. Just drink a double bock. Thick and chewy, yes, with intense notes of caramel, chocolate, and dried stone fruit. Nader, as we call him, serves as a tribute to this liquid bread style. I guess that's the guy on the front.
Now, there were two hops in there?
Just two varieties.
German Northern Brewer.
So Magnum is just the straight neutral bittering hop. Yeah. So really, all your flavor there is just straight that German Northern Brewer.
And this is really just more like a German style beer.
Definitely, yeah.
You get a lot of the caramel.
I don't know what stone dried or dried stone fruit is, but if it's plum, that's I'm it. There.
It's any fruit with a big pit.
Oh, any fruit with a big pit. See,
stone fruits.
Thank you, Sherry. Oh, right, the stone. Got it.
As all this right. warms up, this is like chew. You got to chew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like bread, liquid bread, literally.
Well, that's what they even say, thick and chewy. All right, let's get a few more of our list of manias that we started last week.
Oh, yeah?
This,
do you have the list? You're going to have to read the list this week because I did not do my 6 minutes of prep.
This is Make Believe Brews, 37 fictional but probably still delicious beers from TV and movies. We left off with Alderaanian Ale from Star Wars.
Which I don't remember.
Neither do I. Maybe it's one of the smaller.
I have to ask the kids from their Star Wars encyclopedias. Yeah, I'm sure they know it.
We have Rocket Fuel Malt Liquor from News Radio.
You can't tell us with your hand over your mouth, though.
We have Black Death Malt Liquor from WKRP in Cincinnati.
I don't remember either of those two, but both sitcoms about radio shows that were funny as hell.
This one I remember, Pawtucket Patriot Ale from
He got visited by the spirit Patriot. That stuff is hilarious.
Samuel Jackson beer from the Chappelle Show. I don't remember.
You'll be
that
fucking fat chicks in no time. You don't remember that?
No.
Sam Jackson. You don't remember that?
Okay, now I got
it. Oh my god, it was hilarious. Sorry, I crossed the line. I apologize. Now I have to put the explicit on here. But yes, I remember Sam Jackson. It was the Sam Adams. There was a series of Sam Adams commercial at the time, but it was a Samuel L. Jackson, so it was him as what it would be. It was very, very funny.
It's a motherfucking hops in this beer. All right,
exactly.
Schnitzengiegel from Beer Fest.
Beer Fest is a hilarious movie. So that was our secret recipe beer that they brought to the.
I don't know. I didn't see.
Have you seen Beer Fest? Have you seen Beer Fest? Have you seen Super Troopers?
Yes.
The same guys that did Super Troopers did Beer Fest.
What's their group called?
The Broken Lizard.
Yeah.
Very, very funny. They've all got a couple of those guys. Jay Chandrasekhar and Sasha Shrestha has gone on to direct many, many funny things, including Dukes of Hazzard.
All right,
the movie, not that television crap.
Panther Pilsner beer from the Three Stooges.
No.
Newton and Ridley Best Bitter from Coronation Street. I don't even know what that is. Churchill's Best Bitter from EastEnders. That
These
looks
must
like
be
a real
British
beer.
TV shows.
Mm-hmm. This list kind
of
sucks.
Romulan Ale from Star Trek, of course.
There we go.
And I think we'll end with this one, Pibwasser from Grand Theft Auto 4. The video
is game. That a video game?
Yes.
Pidwasser?
Pibwasser.
P-I-D?
P-I-D.
Like
Pibwasser.
Like Budweiser, but Pibwasser.
Pibwasser.
It's like a...
Let's do three more just to finish off this row so we remember more easily. Heisler beer from New Girl, Superbad, How I Met Your Mother, My Name Is Earl, and 2.5 Men.
Those all the same
production company or the...
Cerveza Chango from Dusk Till Dawn, Sin City, El Mariachi, Grindhouse, and Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
That's Robert Rodriguez.
And Flagler beer from Magnum P.I.
Flagler?
Magnum P.I.
But yeah, the first of the batch, you probably recognize a lot of those. But Duff now is actually a beer, so it wasn't included on here. Yeah. Well, Chris, we're at the end of our listenator. We had our final beer.
Yes, we did. So
what's next?
Well, we should all pick our favorite beer. Sherry, so, what was your favorite beer from out of Solid Sender Ale, Blizzard of Hops?
Blizzard.
Or Blizzard.
The Blizzard.
Ale. Are you sure that's correct?
Or
sure there's no ale? You want to? So, wait, one thing I wanted before we go for that thing after make fun of me for being an idiot. You guys were commenting earlier that the artwork has dramatically changed on these Trojan
beers.
True.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to say it's a font problem here?
Yeah.
That's kind of like B1 Izzard, actually. Yeah.
Right, see? Okay. It's not just me.
Or you could be like Bizzard.
Bizzard. Like it's a B. Or I could have gone with the snowflakes and with the whole Blizzard thing. Sorry about that.
All right, Perpetual IPA was the third beer, and Troganator.
So did they change their label, right? The font.
Oh,
they,
definitely.
Yeah, they used to have totally something different completely different.
They all have blue and red with there's more with the crazy mad elf type thing going on.
Did you point this out on the air, Jeff? Their nice little thing on the side.
Yeah, now they're telling you what hops they have, what the IBU is. It's pretty prominent.
It used to look like a seal, right? Like a gold and blue or something like that. Like a
yes.
And they have a little artwork section, the little Trogues thing. Trogues, by the way, still an independent brewery.
Still.
Not owned by any of the conglomerates.
Not
or
bought
like
up
that.
By the new Oscar Blues Holding Company or Craft Brew Alliance.
So, Sherry, which was your favorite?
Or Yingling.
I don't know. I really wasn't crazy about any of them.
Wow.
Not really my style. I mean, they were fine.
Wow.
They were drinkable. But yeah.
But if you had to pick, if you were forced to,
none of them were vanilla porter.
Right.
If someone said, "Drink these six beers."
None of them were Guinness.
One of these beers.
If I had to drink one, if I had to drink one, I'd probably drink this one, the Solid Cinder. That was easy to drink. It was like drinking water. So.
All right, Mike.
Oh, just slaying.
What was your favorite?
I'm a big fan of Troganator, and I really like the Perennial. What is it called? Perpetual?
Perpetual.
The Perpetual IPA, I'm going to go with. That was my favorite of the night.
Jeff?
It's nighttime already. You know, normally I take the easy pick. I love the West Coast IPA. I love the super, you know, palate wrecker IPA. Pretty rare for me to align to any other style and definitely express that I don't love the double bock. But so I got to go with the Troganator. I think it's phenomenal.
Not
beer.
Even
it's
picking any of the IPAs.
No, it's a beautiful beer.
I'm going to go with Troganator as well, just something different. I would usually pick an IPA, but I'm feeling in a Troganator mood. What can I say?
I want another one.
All right,
thanks for listening to CNBC episode 71. You can subscribe to our podcast feed in iTunes or get the podcast directly from our host at www.cnbcpodcast.com.
You can email us at cnbcpodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/CNBC podcast. Like us there. You can also see our video episodes, youtube.com/CNBC podcast. I think we're going to do a special video episode with a treehouse.
We are a special delivery treehouse beer.
You can also follow us on Twitter at CNBC podcast.
And next week we will not have the Whole Foods Harpoon Brewer on as earlier stated. But however, we will end with this great quote from Sid Vicious. I've only been in love with a beer bottle and a mirror. Sid Vicious. Drinking beers.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Drinking beer. The kind